Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Yevamos Daf Nun Vav. We begin on the second lines from the top of the Amud. Echad Ma'are, Vechad Agoymer Kana. The Mishnah goes on to explain that, unlike your typical Kiddushin, which requires consent, willingness, da'as, to make that kinyan, yibum is entirely different. It's a different type of bond. It's min ha-shamayim. Isha hiknu lo min ha-shamayim, as the Gemara Kedushin of Beis Amin Beis says. And therefore it follows different types of guidelines. Even b'shoigig, ba'oynes, the kinyan is still effective. Question is, to what extent? My kana. When the Mishnah says that all these different variations work, and you are kaina de yevama, to what extent? Rava amar kana lakoil, pertaining to all halachis between husband and wife. He'll be yerusher, she'll have his truma. If he's a kain, he could become tamit. All the halachis, hafaras nedarim, she's a regular wife, no different. Ushmol amar lakana, ela ledvarim ha'amurim beparsha. Shmuel says, look, you haven't really activated a proper kinyan, which can really make her your wife. At most, you did something which conforms to the yibum process. And therefore, says Shmuel, you know what happens? You activate yibum aspects of that marriage. For instance, lirash b'nichsei achiv. This fellow now takes over the estate of his departed brother. Because it says Yochum al Shem Achav in the parsha of Yibum. You've activated the parsha of Yibum, nothing more. Ulupoitra mina Yibum. There's no longer a din for Yibum. So that's the sheet of Shmuel. You end right there. You want to have more? She wants to have your Truma if you're a kain. You want to get her Yerusha, etc. You need a proper kinyan. Says the Gemara, let's analyze the circumstance of the machlekes. What are they talking about? Minan nesuin. If she became a yevama after having been married to Reuven, Reuven passes away, she's a yevama. In which case, she was a proper wife to Reuven. Ledivrei hakol achla, all agree at this point. If she's a yevama and this fellow, the yevam, now takes over, even if it's a so-called a deficient kinyan, it's just b'shoigig. It's not on purpose, not with a proper masa, a proper das. All agree, even Shmuel agrees, she can have his truma, because bottom line is, the havas ka'achla mi'ikar, because she was already eating truma with her first husband, meaning she was already fully connected to him, fully married. The yavam, in effect, is just taking over what was already there. See, even a bia b'shegig works. In this case, the yivum power activates, or I should say, makes a continuity. It helps him continue and take over what was there before. She's a full-fledged wife. Ki pligim an erusin. The question is, if she was just engaged, she only had a kiddushin with her first husband, and then he passes away. Erusin is not a proper marriage. They're not truly connected. There's no din of Yerusha, of Tumah and Truma. So now the Yavam comes along and does his incomplete kinyan, so to speak. He does a kinyan b'shoigig. What happens now? Does he acquire her fully or not? That's the machlokes. Rav Amar Echelas. Rav says, even in this case, she gets her Truma from him. So if he's a kohen, he can feed her Truma. The Rabbi Rachmana Bia Shegik Amazed, the Pasuk allows this type of Bia. Yibum accommodates all these various types of interactions. And now she's his wife. Ushmol Amar, no, Ki Rabbi Rachmana. Sure. The Torah refers to all these variations, but that's only Lu'ukmi B'makim Baal. To put him in the stead of the Baal, to take over the status which was already there by her previous husband. If she was already married, she was already having this truma, she can continue to do so even by the Yavam. The Ma'asa Yibam, as incomplete as it is, it generates Yibam, it activates the powers of Yibam, and allows him to take over what was already there. But to put him higher than the original husband, La Lumi Bibal? Of course not, Loy, that you can't do. That's Shmuel's approach. So of course, if you do a proper Kinyan, with awareness, with das, of course, everybody's maida. She's his wife. And she gets all the privileges of a married woman. And so does he. Question is, if it was not done that way, it was b'shoigig, it was b'aynes, it was in all these cases. Sure, it counts for yibam. So if she was already married to husband number one, this allows him to take over that status. She was not married to husband number one, only an arusa. And now he does this sort of deficient type of ma'aseh kinyan. Says Shmuel, you can only activate the yibam related elements of this kinyan. But no more. And Rav says no. Yibam is yibam is yibam. She's his wife. V'azda Shmuel tamei. And Shmuel is now going to follow his own personal shita stated elsewhere. The Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel kol sha'ba'al ma'achil. In a case where her former husband would feed her truma, i.e. she was married to him. In this case, Yavam ma'achil. The Yavam as well can feed her, irrespective of how he acquired her, whether it be as shogeg or may, it doesn't matter, because he's just taking over what was already there. V'chol she'ena ba'al machil. But in the case where she was just engaged to Reuven and was not yet being fed truma by him, and now the Yavam does an incomplete type of masa, Yavam ene machil, he doesn't feed her as well, you can't consider him higher and superior to the first husband through this incomplete ma'aseh kinyan. Here comes a kasha on Shmuel, Meisvei, Bas Yisrael, Pikachas. So you have a healthy Jewish girl, Shinis Arsa L'Koyin Pikach, got engaged with a healthy Koyin. Mentally healthy. V'lehispik L'Koyin Sa'at Shenechrash. So as we spoke, an Arusa will not eat truma. By the way, the Gemara Rashi brings later that the din is only midrabban, because minat Torah, even an arusa can eat truma. But the rabban were concerned that if we allow that to happen, she might, since she's still home at her parents' home, she might take the truma that her fiancé gives her, the arus gives her, and feed it to her brothers and sisters who are not kahan, who are not allowed to take part in that truma. So we say she can't really have truma until she's married and she enters his, she comes and lives with him. That takes away the chashash that she'll feed her siblings. So we have a Bas Yisrael engaged to a kohen. At this point, no truma, right? By the time he got around to doing that marriage, he became a cherish, deaf, mute, and he does not have a koyach, doesn't have the power to affect the kinyan. Eina ichalas. She can't have his truma. Rashi explains. Technically, she's mutter betruma, because even when she was just arusa, she was mutter. And in this case, when she's actually living with him, who cares if he's a cheresh? She's living with him. It's after marriage. She's no longer feeding her siblings. But the reason why we don't allow it, it's a gzera. Because next time, we might allow it even when the kiddushin, the first phase, was conducted in a cherish circumstance, which of course doesn't work. A cherish can't make a kinyan. Therefore, we say nisun of a cherish can't grant her truma eating privileges. Okay, so that's the first halach. Ena ichelas, meis. Her husband passes away at this point. Venafla lifnei yavam cherish. And she's now standing in front of his brother, who happens to be a cherish as well. Eicheles. She can now eat truma. Ubazu yofe koyach hayavam mikoyach habal. Why? Why do we allow the yavam to feed her? Because the yavam, in a way, is stronger than the baal. Yofe koyach hayavam mikoyach habal. Yavam is more powerful. Rashi explains. We learned in the Mishnah, even a bia v'shoigig, v'oynes, without kavanah l'shem kinyan, without kavanah l'shem mitzvah, works for yibum. Therefore, a yavam, who happens to be a chirish, counts as well. And now he can feed her the truma, which is amazing. She couldn't have truma by her husband because he was a chirish. She could have it by the yavam. That's the answer, because it's kinyan. The Kinyan Yibam works differently. It's Ben HaShemayim, it works differently, and therefore she's considered his full-fledged wife. Here comes the Kasha on Shmuel. Bishlam l'Rav Nicha, according to Rav, it works perfectly well, because according to Rav, even this type of deficient Kinyan can activate Truma privileges. Elu l'Shmuel Kasha, but according to Shmuel, it shouldn't work. Because remember, she wasn't eating Truma by her husband. And now she can eat. According to Shmuel, that doesn't work. If she would have been eating a truma by her husband, of course, Shmuel agrees, the Yavam can just take over that situation, even with a deficient bia, but not in a case where she wasn't eating truma until now. Amalach Shmuel, Shmuel responds, Imahachi, let's revise the braisa as follows. She was a pikachas, mentally stable. She went ahead and got engaged to a kohen, who likewise was perfectly fine. And the Brisa continues, for lo yhispik al kohen tz'asha nechrash. By the time he got around to marriage, he became a cherish. Eino yichalas b'truma, there's no achilas truma. But then the Brisa adds one more case. Konas v'achakach nischarish. He married and then became a cherish, eichalas. Once she started eating, she continues eating. Okay, that's good. Because at the point of nesuin, he was healthy. And now the Brisa says, Meis, v'naflot, v'nayavam. He passed away and she presented to a yavam, who happens to be a cheresh as well. Oyecheles, she may continue eating truma. And this works well even according to Shmuel, because she was already eating truma beforehand. He's just taking over that status. Now, if so, if that's the case, why does the Brisa say, well, in this case, we see that the yavam is more powerful than the husband. Umay bezu. What do you mean? The husband was also a cherish and was also feeding her. The answer is the ilu baal cherish miyikara lo yecheles. The Brisa is highlighting, referring to a different case. Theoretically, if the baal would have been a cherish initially, prior to marriage, lo yecheles, she can't eat, as we explained before. You can't go into a marriage with a cherish and start eating. This is a gzeir, right? Like we mentioned. Vilu yavam cherish mikaru achla, but if it's a yavam who's a cherish from the get-go, such as in this case, since she was already eating by her husband, then she gets transferred to the yavam who's right now a cherish at the initial point of marriage. She can eat, and here we have an element of superiority that we find by the yavam over the husband. A yavam can actually feed his yavama truma, even though she came into his rishus when he was already a cherish. A baal can't do that. And the answer is because the yavam is merely sort of taking over from the baal who was already feeding him. So according to this version of the Gemara, and all these incomplete kinyanim, bias shaygig, aynes, right, of a yavama, what happens? The kinyan works, but to what extent? How far? How effective is it? Well, if she was already married to her husband, and then he passes away, that gets transferred to the yavam, even with this deficient interaction, because he's simply taking over what was already there. If she was only an arusa, that's a machlekes. Rav says, here as well, yibum is yibum. Shmuel says no. Sure, yibum is yibum, it only activates the yibum-oriented aspects of their life. Only those things mentioned in the parsha of Yibam. He's Yerush's brother's nechasim, she's potter from Yibam, etc. But nothing more. That's version number one. Version number two, v'yikadam, mina erisin l'divra koil lo yachlo. Back to the case of a deficient kinyan. She was coming off erisin. She was only engaged to Reuven, he passed away, and she's coming to Shimon as a yivama. And he does this shoygeig, oynus type of interaction. Divrei hakoil lo yachlo, all agree, even Shmuel agrees, there's no truma to be eaten because the lo yachlo b'chahi baal, she wasn't having truma with her first husband. And therefore, Yavam can't stand higher than that, unless he does a proper kinyan. At most, he's just taking over. Fine, take over what was there. But no more than that. He pligi min anesuin. The question is if she's coming off her marriage. Rav amar echeles. Here Rav says, yeah, it's a complete kinyan. She can have his truma. Do havas achlam yikaro. Keep in mind, she was already eating truma. He's just taking it over. Ushmol amar ina echeles. No. Even in this case, when she's coming from nesuin, this incomplete, deficient kinyan would not allow her to have truma. Ki Rabbi Rachmana bia shogi kemezer. When the Torah considers a bia of a shogi like a mezer, that's only ledvarim or murim reparsha, pertaining to those elements mentioned in the parsha of Yibam. It's a Yibam oriented type of kinyan, aval kol mililoi, but doesn't pertain to any other privileges. So, according to version number two, machma. If she's coming off of erisin, all agree it doesn't work. From nisuin, we have a machlekes. And Shmuel holds, it doesn't work. V'amar of Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Didn't Shmuel himself tell us elsewhere? So before we used it as a riot, now we're going to have it as a kasha. Kol sha'abal machal yavam machal. A situation where the husband fed her truma, i.e. he was married. Yavam can do so as well, even with a deficient interaction. And here Shmuel says not so. Ema, let's revise that statement. We're speaking about a proper bia, called bia shabal machalba. A proper bia done by your husband. That type of bia, yeah, yava machalba. The same bia which allows the husband to feed her, meaning a proper bia with chuppah. Likewise, the yavam can use that type of interaction to feed her as well. With a das kinyan, a proper interaction, as opposed to a deficient bia. Kol bia she'ena baal machalba. But otherwise, if it's a deficient bia, without kinyan, without das, ein ayavam machal ba, the yavam can't use that either. Meisve, here comes another kasha from that price. Where we learn, Bas Yisrael pikachas, shenis ars l'koyin pikach, right? The Bas Yisrael healthy, koyin healthy, they got engaged, v'lo yispik l'koyin sashen nechrash, by the time the wedding came around, he became a chirish, ein ayichelas is no trum. Meis v'nafla l'fin ayavam, he dies and she goes to the yavam, who happens to be a chirish as well, Oichelas, she can have her truma. Ubazu, yafe koyach yavam, mikoyach baal. Here we have a case where the yavam stands higher, is more powerful than the baal. End quote. Now, you see, in the previous Gemara, we use this price as a kash on Shmuel. Shmuel was the machmer. And here we see the yavam is stronger than the baal. He can actually feed her where the baal couldn't. And the Gemara answered, well, no, let's revise the price. Actually, we were speaking that he was a pikeach when she married him, and then he became a cherish. So she was already entitled to truma, and then she got transferred to the yavam. He can take over what was already there. Now, in version number two, Rav is sort of taking the place of Shmuel. Right? We substituted Shmuel for Rav. Rav is the one that holds that coming off a nesuin allows the yavam to sort of take over, and Shmuel holds even in that case you don't. Right? Rav is sort of filled the place of Shmuel in this Gemara. So Bishlam Mila Rav Metaritz Kedetaritz Miyikara. So Rav wouldn't have a kasha from this brisa. He simply answers it. He sort of tinkers with the brisa like Shmuel did before. He revised the case. Was speaking that she was already married to him when he was healthy, and then she started eating the truma. Then he became a cherish, and then there was a yibum. So he takes over. Because if you're b'miyave min hanesuin, it works. Elo l'Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, we're against the wall because, according to the second version of the Gemara, Shmuel never allows this type of deficient ma'asabiyah to activate any achilas truma privileges, irrespective of whether she's coming off of marriage or erison. There's no way to reconcile this brisa according to Shmuel. Kashya, indeed, we leave it unresolved. Okay, so bottom line is, and all these types of bias that are without proper das kinyan, if it's shogeg, if it's oines, etc., what happens? According to version 1 of the Gemara, if it's min hanesui, all agree it's fine. If it's min ha'erusin, Rav says it's fine. And Shmuel says it only works with respect to yibam oriented aspects. In version number 2, a machmer, min ha'erusin, all agree it doesn't work except for yibam halachis, for yibam halachis. And if it's min hanesuin, Shmuel still says it doesn't work except for yibam oriented aspects. And Rav says it works for everything. Tana Rabbana, we know it in a brisa about this Bas Yisrael Pikachas. She is asked L'Koyim Pikeach, healthy girl, engaged to a healthy Koyim. V'lo Yispik L'Koyim, so she is Charish. By the time he got around to marrying, he became a Charish. Eino Yicheles. She cannot go ahead and have his Truma. So she's a Bas Yisrael, she's marrying a Koyim. She cannot have his Truma. Right? As we explained earlier, really Minat Torah, an Arusa is entitled. But the Rabbanu were concerned about sharing with her siblings. So until marriage, don't have his truma. Although in this case, she's already married. But guys are concerned that this might lead to eating truma even when getting engaged to a cheresh. If we allow marriage with a cheresh, we might apply the same to when she got engaged to a cheresh and have his truma, which of course is asr, because the cheresh doesn't have the koyach to make a kinyan. And therefore, it's asr. Noilad lo ben, suppose, mazal tov, there's a son who's a kohen, right? Oicheles, she's allowed to eat truma because of her son. We have a pasuk, right, that when a Bas Yisrael marries a kohen, even if her husband passes away, she can continue eating truma as long as the son's around. He sort of, keeps the tradition going. So Noel Leben, Echeles, she can have the Truma, even though the husband's not around, even though the husband's not able to feed her, he's a Cheresh, but the son can feed her, so to speak. Meisa Ben, but let's say the son's gone, what happens now? Rabbanos Noimer Echeles, she can continue eating. Vechacham, I mean, Eina Echeles, she may not. My time of the Rabbanosin, what's Pshan Rabbanosin? Husband couldn't feed her, and Shada, who fed her, is no longer here. Amar Rabba, Hoyl Shekvar Achla. Look, she started eating. Once you start, you don't stop. Amar Li Abaye. Elamiyata, if that's the case. You start, you don't stop. Bas Yisrael, Shenisos Lekoin. A regular Bas Yisrael marries a Koin. Umeisle. And he passes away. Teichel? Does she continue eating? Shekvar Achla because she started eating? Of course not. It's dependent upon his existence, right? Ela Kivin the Meisle. Rather, once he passes away, Pakalei Kedusha Sei Mina. The Kedusha transferred from him to her dissipates. He was the reason for her Truma. He's no longer here. Hachanami here as well with the son. Given the Meslei, once the son passes on, Pakalei Kedusha Sei Mina. His Kedusha dissipates. She no longer benefits from his presence. How can you say, once you eat, you continue eating? Elam Rav Yosef Nara. Let me explain to you Rav Nosson's sheet. Kasav Rav Nosson, he holds Nesui Cheresh Machilin Betruma. There's a fundamental machlokes here between Rav Nosson and the Chachamim. As we explain, the Chachamim hold that all the Minat Torah she should be eating, and really she's already married, there isn't really a concern about feeding her siblings, but there's a gzera. If we allow the Nesun of a Cheresh to have weight, we might attribute value to the condition of a cheresh, which of course you can't, because he cannot do a condition. Rabbi Nosson disagrees with that gzera. Straight into the point. He holds that once you marry, even if it's a cheresh, since the condition was valid, because he was healthy at that point, and once you're living with him, there's no concern of feeding your siblings, you can go ahead and eat the truma. Irrespective of the presence of a son or not. The husband himself has the ability to feed you. Because of Rabbi Nosson, marriage to a cheresh activates truma eating privileges. We don't say, well, we might confuse the marriage to a cheresh to the kedushin of a cheresh. If that's the reason, then skip the child. Why discuss a child? Why even mention the child factor? She's eating because of the husband. Mishum Rabbanon. is to point out that according to the Rabbanan, although she can't eat on account of her husband, but she could on account of the child. That's why we mentioned the son. But then the structure in the Brice is problematic. V'lifleg Rabbi Nosson alaya bereisha. You see, Rabbi Nosson only comes in after we discuss the child. He should have stepped in right away. Right away when we mentioned the halacha. Tanakhama says she can't eat on account of the husband or Zacharish. Says Rabbi Nosson she could. Why mention the child? Says the Gemara, Shavak lula Rabbanan. Adam asaimi milsayu. Out of deference, out of dignity, out of respect to the Rabbanan, Rabbi Nosson allowed them to finish what they were saying. They covered all the halachas with the child and everything. And then, v'hadda palagalayu, and then he went ahead and said, look, Rabbi, I disagree fundamentally with your Rashita. I hold that once she's married, even if he's a cherish, she can have truma. Irrespective of whether or not there's a child here. Yach, if that's the case, if that's where he's coming from, then again, the Brisa should have been structured differently. Listening, the Brisa should say, Meis haben eino yecheles. Rav Nosson oimer yecheles. You see, the Brisa starts with the case of she married the Cherish. Okay? No truma, that's Rabban. No yodla ben, she has a child, she can have her truma. Then the Brisa says, look, the child passes away. Now who's speaking? We said Rav Nosson is waiting for the Chacham to finish presenting their position. So who's speaking? It's the Chacham, right? What do Chacham hold? Meis haben, she has to stop eating because she was only eating because of the child. Right? That's the Rashita. She's not eating because of the husband, only because of the child. Child's no longer here, she has to stop. So shouldn't the Brisa say it that way? Husband doesn't feed. Child does feed. Child not here, stop. That's the Chachamim. And then Rav Nosson will say, okay, are you finished? Okay, I have what to say. She can eat because of the husband, right? She should come all at the end. Yachi, if that's the way it's structured, that's the way it's being discussed. If he's waiting for them to finish, listening, the Brisa should say like this, Meisa ben eino yecheles. The Chachamim speak about her being able to eat on account of the child. If he's not here, she has to stop. And then comes Rav Nosson and says, look, I have what to say. Rav Nosson, I'm Mary Chelas. She can eat because of the husband. So why does Rav Nosson come before the Chacham? Should be the other way. Finish the Chacham and come back to Rav Nosson. Kasha, we have it as a Kasha. It's a good point. V'chei nabo alachas m'kol ha-royis. Amar v'amar. Homil, so the following halacha. Omalon Rav Sheshes. Was presented to us by Rav Sheshes, Vanirinu La'ainin, and he enlightened us. Rashi says, V'hayir einenu, like V'hayir einenu v'ser asech. You know, the famous story with the Rabbi Simcha der Sameach, they were sitting, some Rabbonim, and they had Shver Akasha. So somebody heard him, he was davening, he said, you know, Hashem, give me Ava Satira. Give me Avas Atar. You would expect me to dive into Hashem for Siyata Deshmaya, for clarity, for a deeper perspective. No, Hashem, give me Siyata Deshmaya to love Torah. And he explained because when you love something, then you understand it. When a child's kvetching, the mother who loves the child understands what he means. Vanerinu la'ainin masnisen, give us Hayreinenu. Help us be connected. Help us really understand, appreciate. So he told us a halacha, and then he brought us a raya. He supported it from the Mishnah. What was the halacha? Firstly, what's the halacha? Eishes Yisrael shenensa. A woman married to a Yisrael, not to a kohen, a regular Yisrael, shenensa, who experienced a forced interaction with a strange man. The halacha is, afal pisha materis lebala. She is certainly Mutter to stay with her husband. Rashi brings the pasuk, says v'hilo in etfasa asur. If she was not grabbed, meaning she did it willingly, she's asur. But if it was a forced experience, of course she's mutter. There's no question. But psula lakuna, it disqualifies her from marrying a kohen down the line. Kohanim have higher standards, more delicate, more sensitive, and even an oynes with an eishes ish disqualifies her from further marrying a kohen. That's the halacha that Rav Sheshes taught us, a chiddush. V'tana. Tuna means our Tana. Our Tana taught it to us as well in our Mishnah. Mishnah says, V'chein abo al achas mikol arayis amoyis b'teirah. Oy psulis. So Mishnah speaks about all types of physical interactions. And then says, look, just as these halachas apply to Yibum, it applies to arayis as well. Oy psulis. Or if it's possible, a kahuna, a grusha marrying a kayin, etc. The same concepts apply there as well. My v'chein, what are we trying to apply here? What are we trying to copy over? My love, should we not assume it's going on lo yishno b'shegig, v'lo yishno b'meizid, lo yishno b'oynes, lo yishno b'ratzen? All these types of interactions, whether shegig, meizid, oynes, or ratzen, have the same impact. Uktani pasla. And it says that it's going to disqualify it from marrying a kohen. So you see clearly that even an oynes experience impacts her kahuna status. Lo, that's not the point of the Mishnah. My v'chein, when it says v'chein, it's in reference to one point, not oynes. Ahara, that limited physical interaction. And we're speaking that it was done b'ratzein, willingly. She's a zayna. Who's to say that oynes would have the same effect? Asks the Gemara. Ahara d'man. Who are you trying to include? What are you saying? V'chein. That ha'ara applies here as well. What's here? What circumstance? Ilei mada arayis. All those arayis interactions. Just as a yevama has a din ha'ara. Limited contact effects. Here as well by arayis has value. L'mehima, do you mean to say that arayis yalfinam yevama? Arayis will learn from yevama? With respect to this halacha, Adrav, just the opposite. Yevama yafinim arayis. If anything, Yevama learns from arayis. The ikar ha'ara of arayis, the concept of ha'ara, was taught by arayis, as we had yesterday. Yevama learns from there, not us from Yevama. Elamai v'chein, rather v'chein means ashalei kedar, kedar arayis. Come to tell you, just as a Yevama is acquired by way of bia, whether regular or irregular, likewise, by arayis, it also has significance. Again, Adrab, just the opposite. You're learning from Yivama to Arayis. Ikar Mishkevei Ishab Arayis Ksiv. The primary reference of the of equating Kedarka Shlei Kedarka through Mishkevei Ishka, the plural Lashon, which accommodates both forms of interaction. That's said by Arayis. You don't need to go to Yivama to learn that. Ela Mai V'chein Ashalei Kedarka D'Chayev Lavin. Rather, it's coming to tell you that Shalei Kedarka is applicable even by Chayev Lavin. Ashi says, Amana to Kohen Gadol, etc. And that's all the Mishnah is telling you. But not necessarily are we speaking about an oynes situation, and therefore it's not a writer of Sheshes. Amar Rava, on the topic of oynes by an Eishes Kohen, here comes a Chiddush. Eishes Kohen Shenansa, a Kohen's wife, who had this forced experience. Bala Loika Aleo Mishim Zayna. If the husband holds on to her, he's not allowed to. In fact, he gets Malkus. She's considered a Zayna. That's a tremendous Chiddush, even though it was Ba'inus. Due to his heightened sensitivity, we treat her as a Zayna with respect to staying married with this Kayin. Mishum Zayna in the Yu. Do you mean to say it's only Zayna, that's it? Mishum Tum Aloy? But no more, we don't consider her to be the Saita, which has the which is labeled as that. She's labeled as Tamim, as she brings the Pasuk, which we actually discussed back in Afir Aleph. Achrei asher hutama'a, we learn the rabbi's soita shenivala. And the pasuk says, once the soita was mezana, she may not go back to her husband. So why doesn't that apply here as well? Eima achmishim zoina, he meant both. He meant not only is she like a soita, but she's a zoina as well. Double malchus. Masav rabbi zeira, avakasha. Pasuk says, vilayna tfasa. This is by the Saita in Parshas Nasai. The reason why she's Aser is because she was not grabbed, meaning it was done with consent. She committed Znus with consent. V'ilay netfasa Asura. And the diuk is, we imply from here, that if it was done without consent, was done forcefully, ha-nitfasa muteris. Doesn't affect her status with her husband. That's typical. That's standard. That's conventional. That's by Ishas Yisrael. But since it says v'hi, she, that indicates that there's something else out there. V'yesh tocha acheres. We have a similar situation elsewhere where she doesn't get this break. Sha'afa p'shinitfasa asur, even if it was done forced, it was oinus. She's asur v'ezoi. Zu, what are we speaking about? Zu ishas kohen, a wife of a kohen, who is affected even by an oinus. Now, v'lav abo mechlal asay asay. We know that when we draw a lav, we draw an iser from an asay, such as over here, a regular isha who is forced to do an avir, she's mutter. Right? It's a positive statement. We draw from there that otherwise, if she's a kohenes, an ishas kohen, she's asur. It's a lav coming from an asay. It's not treated like a lav. It doesn't have malchus. So how could Rabbi say that there's malchus? I'm a rabbi, I'll explain to you. Hakoil hoyu b'chlal zoyna. Every isha who deviates, whether it's beratzoin, whether it's via a forced experience, it's still a deviation. That's the fact. Right? So the default assumption is that even oinus is defined as isnus. Now, when the Torah specifies, when the Torah goes ahead and elaborates by the Eishes Yisrael that you should know, that if it was done, ba'inus it's mutter. She's mutter to her husband. That's the exception to the rule. That's the exception. Michlal de Eishes Kayin, k'dekayma kayma. That leaves the Kayin where she was. The starting point was all experiences are considered znus, and all nashim involved are considered zaynus. The Torah exempts an Eishes Yisrael, fine. But Eishes Kohen remains as is. She's called a zayna with respect to her continued marriage with her husband. And therefore, you get malchus. That explains the malchus. There's a beautiful Rashi here to the left, a Shas Rashi. Rashi here is about 4 or 5 lines up. Ba'la loika lemishim zoyna. Rashi explains the deeper meaning in this Gemara. D'chsev zoyna lo yikachu. Right? So Kohen may not involve himself with a zoyna. What is a zoyna? V'stam zoyna haynu mena efes, tachas ba'la. She'taso ma'achar ba'la lezorm. The true definition is deviation. She deviated. V'zu, and in this case, even though it was an oinus, it was a forced experience. Afal gav denansa, we understand, that's not her fault, we're not blaming her. However, gabi koin, like polag rachmona ben oinus ben notzen. A koin due to his heightened sensitivity, he has higher standards, so although it's not her fault at all, but he can't stay with her. Kid Gamrina, as we learned from the pasuk of Eloi Netfasa, the word he is a mute mashma. He, an Eishes Yisrael, has this exception. Who the Eish Chiluk by Nitfasa or Nitfasa? Over there, there's a difference between Nitfasa and not Nitfasa. Aval Eishes Kohen and Chiluk by Kohen, there's no difference. You know, it's interesting. The Ma'arik has a chiddush. He says, based on this concept, it'll come out that an Isha who thought it's mutter to deviate, interact with somebody else, she'll become asa to her husband. And he says, why? Because it's not a question of whether she deliberately was trying to do the iser, even if she thought it was mutter. But she deviated. She was mezana. She was toya from her husband. She was soita. Rashi Chumash, I think, says that soita means she deviated. She strayed. So if it's done by oinus, it doesn't affect her status vis-a-vis Yisrael. But if it was done willingly, even though she mistakenly thought that it's okay, that's called a deviation. She's strayed, and she'll be usher to her husband, even a Yisrael. It's a chiddush to Ma'arik. I think it's brought down in Ramon and Shulchan Aruch. So it's all based on this concept that it's deviation, it's straying. It's not necessarily the Isser per se. It's turning your back on your husband, so to speak. It's betraying his trust. And the chiddush is that by a kohen, even if it was ba'oinis, that's also considered a deviation to the point that she's usher on her husband. Continues the Gemara. So this was version number one, the rabbi says. There's a double malchus by a kohen who holds on to an isha who's involved in an oinis. There's zayna and there's tumah. There's only one. Eishes kohen should answer. And Eishes kohen who had this experience. Bala loika lemshim tumah, only on account of tumah. She's a soita. But not, Znus won't give the, Zoyna will not generate a new Malkus. Bishom Tuma, in only on account of Tuma. Bishom Zoyna Loi, not on account of that title. Alma Ba'inus, like Karina Bay Zoyna, according to this version, no. An Oinus is not a Zoyna. He doesn't agree with the whole concept. The fact is, it's Ba'inus, and therefore, Zoyna does not kick in. Mos Rabbi Zera Avakasha, how can you say that there's any Malkus at all? Viloin Etzfasa, Asura, we have the Pasuk. Isha was involved in Znus willingly, she's usher to her husband, and we learn Honet Fasa Muteris, if it was done by Ines, she's Mutter, that's only by the Yisrael. So you have a different woman, Shava Bisha Nitfas, even though it was done by Ines, Asur Shiri becomes Asur, Be'ezoi, who's the Adzu, Esha's Kayan, right? And this is a lav which is being drawn from an Asay, Velav Avomachal Asay, which has the din of an Asay. It's not a straight out lav, it's a lav which is drawn out of a positive statement, Honet Fasa Muteris, so it doesn't have the din of a lav, and it doesn't have malchus. How can you say there's malchus? Amar Rabba, I'll explain it to you, and this is similar to before. Just instead of speaking about zayin, we speak about tuma. Hakoyl hoyu bechlal ash acharei asher hutama. All situations were really technically included in that pasuk describing an isha who strayed, an isha who was involved with a strange man. She becomes tamei, and she may not go back to her husband. So all situations were included. Even oynes should be included. But then the pasuk comes and elaborates and explains that by an eishes yisrael we take exception to an oynes v'loin etzvasa asura, only if it was done without tfisa, meaning it was not for us, she's asur hon etzvasa muteres, but otherwise she's mutter. That's the exception to the rule. But by a kohen we don't have this exception. Mechlal de eishes kohen k'dekayim mekayim, she just stands at is, as is, and is considered tamei. Notwithstanding the fact that it was ba'inus. Okay, so we learned a great chiddush, an eishes ish, who was involved with a strange man. If it's be ratzon, willingly, she becomes asur, irrespective of whether she's married to a kohen or yisrael. If it was done ba'inus, well, an eishes yisrael is unaffected. An eishes kohen is, to what extent? We have two versions. A single malchus, or even a double malchus, perhaps. Continues the Mishnah. Amana l'kohen gadol. Suppose there's an inappropriate marriage here, an amana marrying a kohen gadol, a grusha or a chalutza marrying l'kohen hedyot. What happens when it comes to eating truma? Suppose she happens to be a daughter of a kohen who was allowed to eat truma up until this point, or if she was a daughter of a yisrael, but she's going into the marriage with a kohen. Could she start eating truma? And Rashi brings here that we're going according to the Shita that holds that even Erusin, even engagement, not today's engagement, but the Kedushin engagement, that Kinyan allows the Isha to have Truma. Right? We're following that Shita right now. What happens if it's an Isser that's being done? It's a Grusha marrying a Kayan. Lo Yechle Betruma, in either one of these cases, she may not eat Truma. Why? Rashi brings that it's midrabanan because she's awaiting marriage with a pasul. She's anticipating a bia psula. That's Shita's Tanakama, which happens to be Rab Meir. Rab Lezer, Rab Shimon Machshir, they say she can have her truma until marriage. She's not affected. She's not blemished by by the relationship with him. It's only a kinyan. She's free to have her truma. What happens if they disengage? Nisarmel or Nisgarshu? These fellows die, or they divorce them. Well, it depends. Min on a suin, if it's after marriage, or in which case they're already blemished and tainted, they become chalol. Psulis, they can no longer have the truma, even if they're really from a kohen family. She's a bas kohen. She can't go back and have her truma. and she can't marry a kohen either. Mina eris and ksheris, but if it was only from the engagement point, she got engaged and then got divorced, got engaged and then got widowed. At that point, she's not yet a chalala, she didn't have a physical interaction with him, and therefore, they're kasha lakuna. Tanya, let's go back to the first shaila. We're going to debate our point. Amar of Meir, Meir says to the other Tanoim, I'll prove my point. That what? That an Isha who's awaiting marriage with these fellows may not eat her truma. Kalvachomer, through a kalvachomer. Uma kiddushi rishus, ein machilim. Look, you find that even a Yisrael, who's Makadosh Bas Yisrael, there's no aver involved, it's rishus, it's optional, meaning it's perfectly acceptable. Ein machilim, they can't feed them truma. Kiddushi aver lekoshke, and of course if it's involving an avera, how can you allow truma to be fed? He should not have the ability to give her truma. Nor should she eat truma on account of her father as a kohen. She's in the middle of a avera relationship. Amr loy, they tell him like this. How can you compare? Loy, no. Im amrus bekudushi rishus. Of course, a regular Yisrael cannot be feeding the arusa truma. She can't lahachel makam achar. He doesn't have the ability to feed her elsewhere. Meaning, even if he marries her, he can't feed her. He's not a kohen. Ta'ima bekudushi avera. How could you compare it to the kohen who's engaged with the grusha? In this case, perhaps he can feed her. Shekein yeshle lahachel makamachar, because he can feed her as soon as he marries. Perhaps not in this case, but typically he can feed his married wife if she's a kosher. So he has the ability to give truma. So why shouldn't he feed her at this point? It's still pre-marriage. It's still pre-being tainted and blemished by him. It's kinyan kaspei, Rashi says. She's his acquisition. Why can't he feed her truma? Okay, to be continued, Be'ez Hashem tomorrow. Okay, let's do a quick chazara on today's daf. We discussed all these sort of deficient types of bios, shoygeg and oines. We had a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, and two versions in the machlekes. According to version one, if she's coming off marriage, after having been married to Reuven, now she's standing awaiting Yibum, and this fellow does this Bia Shogig Vainas, all agree it's fully impactful. He's kind of her completely because he's simply taking over what was already there. If it's only Mina Erison, in which case she was only partially connected to Reuven, and now Shimon does this partial Yibum, so to speak, Rav says, who cares? Rav says, this is a Yibum. She's his wife for all practical purposes. Where Shmuel says, only Dinei Yibam get affected. Nothing else. According to version number two, if she's coming off Nesuin, that's when we have the Machlekes. Rav says it's complete Kinyan. Shmuel says it's just a partial Kinyan. If she's coming from Erison, all agree, it only affects, it only activates Dinei Yibam. Who eats Truma? What type of wife? If she's an Arusa, Minatora she can eat, but not Midrabbanon. If she's a Nesua, she can. She's married to a Cheresh, who became a Cheresh, you know, after Kedushin, before Nesuin. According to the Rabbanon, she may not eat Truma, but Geizer, this Exera, because this might lead to a Cheresh be Mekadosh Isha and feeding her, which he can't because he cannot make a Kinyan. Rabbi Nosson's not concerned about this Exera. Okay, we have the Ishes Ish, who's involved in Oynes. She's Mutter to marry Yisrael, but not a Kayan. There are consequences. She's considered there's a lav, there's malchus for tuma, and perhaps even for zayna. An isha who's involved with psulei kuhuna, right? A grusha to a kohen, etc. If she's already married him, she becomes pasul from truma. If it's only erusin, we have a machlokes. Rav Meir says she can have her truma. Rav Meir Tanakama says no truma. Whereas with Rav Shimon say, she may still have her truma until marriage. All the best to you and Hatzlacha always.